chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We'll be reading one verse there. I had him do stuff on blessing tonight because that's what I want to speak about. I want to use the title of that one, the first song we sang, Make Me a Blessing. Now, many of you gave blessings tonight, and God's been really good to my wife and I and good to me through the years, so I've had lots of blessings. But what I want to speak about tonight is not receiving blessings, but about being a blessing to somebody and ask God to make you a blessing. So we want to look first at Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts chapter 20. Notice verse 35. I have showed you all things, how the soul labor and ye ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I can tell you that we, humanly speaking, think it's a lot better to receive than to give. But that's not what he said. He said, you want to get a blessing? Here's how you get a blessing. He said, get a blessing by giving. Now, if you know your Bible very well, you know that Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 talk about that as well. In order for us to get something, you know what we have to do first? We give something. But again, in this case, what he said is, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we want to look at that thought tonight. Make me a blessing. Father, I ask you now, Lord, that you would speak through me, use me tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would give us some help and, Lord, that everything would be clear and understandable. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me speak plainly and clearly. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to get this thought across, Lord, of how important it is for us to strive to be a blessing. We all enjoy getting blessings, but, Lord, help us that we might work hard to do as you did. And, Father, that we might try to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, notice in your Bibles in Psalms chapter 72, Psalm 72, verse 17 says, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him, and nations shall call him blessed. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28, a verse that we often quote when we're talking about the Proverbs 31 lady. And here's what the Bible says in verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now, we often hold the Proverbs 31 lady in high esteem, and we should. But if you actually look at her life, you'll realize that she wasn't just a blessing to her husband and her children. She was a blessing to her community. She was a blessing to the poor people in town. And we'll look at that later on in the message. But understand, when we're talking about being a blessing, that's what we want to dwell on for just a couple moments, how to be a blessing, how to ask God to make us a blessing. The best example that we can have would be Jesus Christ himself. Look in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 1. In speaking about the Son of God, and in this case it was Elizabeth speaking to Mary. Luke chapter 1, notice verse 42. He had a blessed birth. And it says, and she spake, verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit in thy womb. Now, even before that Jesus was born, Elizabeth realized that Jesus was going to be a blessing and that Mary was blessed in having him. We see that in verse 48 when it refers to Mary and the blessedness of her blessedness. Notice verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Now, this was Mary speaking in that case. Elizabeth was speaking earlier. But in this case, Mary said, because of who I carried, because of the fact that God chose me and let me carry this child, I'm going to be called blessed. Now, unlike the Catholic Church, and again, you know that I've never been Catholic. I know some of you were raised up Catholic. And one of the things that is a big deal at the Catholic Church is, if you're there very often, guess what you're going to hear? You're going to hear Mary about being blessed, Blessed Mary. And again, they talk about Mary almost as much as they talk about Jesus. Now, by the way, Mary was a very special lady. Again, of all the ladies that God could have chose, God found Mary to bear his son. I asked my wife the other day while we were driving, I said, why do you think God chose a poor person, a poor family, to raise Jesus? And I said, you know what? I said, just because a lot of people who are born into a rich family, guess what they think? They think they're privileged. Jesus didn't want to be privileged. Jesus came to be a what? Servant and a sacrifice. And again, now he didn't come to be the king. He'll come back someday as a king. But that's not why he came the first time. And the fact is, Jesus had to work hard. So the truth is, it put him down where most of us live. Because most of us aren't rich. Most of us haven't had, we weren't born with a golden spoon in our mouth. We've had to work to get what we've got. But again, Jesus was blessed in verse 42. Mary was blessed in verse 48. Notice in Acts chapter Acts chapter 10. Notice verse 38. Acts chapter 10. And Jesus left us an example of how to, again, to be a blessing. Notice what it says in verse 38 of chapter 10 of Acts. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about, notice the next two words, doing good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, if you know anything about Jesus' life, if you studied Jesus' life, when he started his earthly ministry every morning when he got up, if he'd had a wife or family and they'd have said, what you going to do today? You know what he'd have said? Going to go do some good. Because that's what Jesus did every day. He went out and he raised the dead. He helped the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He helped those, many times doctors could not help. He helped those who had tried all kinds of medicine and it hadn't worked for them, like the lady with the issue of blood. He helped those who didn't have anyone to help them. But the fact is, he helped folks, and he set us a good example of how to be a blessing by doing good. Again, I would think a great answer if my wife, many times she'll ask, where am I going? It'd be nice if I could say, I'm going to do some good. Now, sometimes I'm up to no good. Now, by the way, that is the opposite of doing good. And some of you are like me, you're better at doing the no good than you are at doing good. But the truth is, Jesus set us a great example. So when we're talking about being made into a blessing, Christ set us the example by living for 3.5 years by doing that every day. Every day, that's what he did. By the way, he was a type. That's why even now, he normally wouldn't have worked on the Sabbath. But there's times that someone needed help on the Sabbath. You know what he did? He broke the rules of the Sabbath. You know why? Because that was more important than the rule. I mean, helping those. And again, if you know anything about the religious leaders, that was one of the biggest fusses they had at him. Because, I mean, he didn't go by the law. He didn't obey the rules. Now, understand, that was because of the fact that he couldn't walk by and see someone that had a need without doing something to help them with their need. That's why he worked late hours. Again, he wasn't a 9-to-5 guy. I mean, that's why even times when he tried to get away from people, they followed him. And you know what the Bible says? Often, when he saw the multitude, what happened? He was moved with compassion. What it meant was, I'm tired. I just want to go lay down for a little bit. But they had a need, and so he just continued to bless them. By the way, a great example to us of how to be a blessing. The second thing I want to see tonight, as I want you to realize, and again, you probably already know this, it's against our nature to be a blessing. Notice in your Bibles in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. When I say it's against our nature, I'm talking about our fleshly nature. Genesis chapter 6. Let me show you what comes naturally for us, and it's not doing good. Genesis chapter 6, notice verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Didn't mean he had an evil thought from time to time. I mean, his thoughts were evil all the time. Notice in chapter 8, verse 21. 8:21 in Genesis says, And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. But again, when he looked down at mankind, you know what he saw? A bunch of evil people. Now, I've often said, usually the first two words that a baby learns is what? No and mine. We don't have to teach them. I mean, we have to teach them the other stuff, but they usually, I mean, they're pretty quick on no, which is disobedience, and mine, which is selfishness. And by the way, all of us have that. When you say, Brother Block, are you selfish as much as you are? Yes, all of us. I mean, now, the truth is, if we fight our fleshly nature, which is what I'm encouraging you to do, which is what Christ set the example of, when we fight our fleshly nature and we die to self, we put our flesh to death on the cross every day, like Paul said when he said, I die daily, then we'll do a spiritual thing or two. But in our own normal earthly fleshly body, all we have is evil thoughts continually. Now, there might be someone out there tonight who said, Brother Block, I don't have evil thoughts continually. Now, first off, I don't really believe you because the Bible said that all mankind had it from their youth. So the truth is, now, you might not have as many evil thoughts as somebody else. But that's like a person who stole $100 saying, I'm not as bad a thief as that other guy. He robbed a bank. The truth is, the police will take you to jail whether you stole, $100 or $10,000. You're still a thief. Whether you commit one sin or a million sins, you're still a sinner. But we, by nature, it's one of those things that it's like the fish fighting their way up. Now, I've never fished in Alaska. I know the Sanders have. Anyone else here ever fished in Alaska? It's one of those. That was one of these days I'd like to go to either Canada or Alaska and either go moose hunting or fishing. But the fish, you know what they do? They fight their way upstream. They fight against the current. And they do that in some other places too, but those, I mean, those trout or those salmon or whatever it is that they're going to spawn, they fight their way upstream. They had a place out in California, out in one of the rivers, that the fish come from the ocean and come up the Sacramento River, and they would show them, now listen to me, they're not, people try to catch them, and most of the time you can't catch them, and even if you pull them in, they're all beat up, and they're not worth eating, because, I mean, they just, I mean, they've went through everything to get to where they're at, but they fight their way, they jump up waterfalls, I mean, the waterfalls come in the opposite direction, they fight up waterfalls. The reason I could see it was they had this big glass thing that they'd built so you could watch these fish. And man, they got fins missing and scars all over them. But they're fighting upstream to get back upstream to lay their eggs. And then usually most of them, after they lay their eggs, they die. I saw someone, I was watching one of those shows where the game wardens show, and the guys were snagging. By the way, that's illegal to do with those salmon, but they were snagging. You say, what was they doing? They were throwing their line out there, and these fish weren't very interested. Now, you could fish, and a lot of people would fish, and every once in a while someone would catch one. But most of them, their mind's not, it's not like I'm hungry. Their mind is, I got to go lay them eggs, or I got to go fertilize those eggs. So they're not usually thinking. So these guys were throwing the line out there, and then they would do this, because they're pulling that hook through there, and they would try to catch that fish anywhere they could catch it, and then pull it to shore. And the game warden caught, he went over there, and the guy said, I wasn't snagging. Of course, he had a big old, that fish had a great big old hole in his side, so it's not real hard, unless he has a hole here. I mean, it was somewhere around his mouth, you snagged him. And by the way, it was illegal, so he got a big ticket. And he had been teaching his kid to snag. His kid was out there. I mean, his kid was snagging. And so, but the truth is, it's illegal to do that. They won't want him doing that. But those fish fight their way upstream. And again, they're going against, now it's easy to go downstream. How many of you ever went rafting or canoeing? Now, going downstream is pretty nice. Sometimes it gets too fast, but I mean, it's pretty nice going with the current. But if you're going against the current, that's tough. And so what you and I would have to do, if we're going to do right, you know what we're going to have to do? We have to go against the current, against our nature. Our nature is evil. Our nature is not thankful. Our nature is not to be a blessing. Our nature is selfishness. Our nature is wickedness. So again, first, Jesus set the example. Second, we'll have to fight against our fleshly nature. Notice in your Bible, Matthew chapter 15. It says, verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Goes on and on, gives us a list of things. Again, we have an evil nature. We have to fight. If we want to be a blessing, in order to make ourselves a blessing, in order to put ourselves in a place where we can be a blessing to somebody, we'll have to fight against our fleshly nature. The third truth I want you to get tonight is this. There's different types of blessings. Now, when I say there's different types of blessings, I want to give you some examples. Go to Malachi chapter 3. We'll see one of the blessings, and these are the ones we all like. We like this blessing. Malachi chapter 3 talks about a financial blessing. In this case, what he tells us is, if you'll tithe like you're supposed to, I'll give you money back. I'll refund what you gave me plus some extra. Verse 10 of Malachi chapter 3, Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, Brother Vineyard used to say this, we shovel it in and God shovels it back, and God uses a bigger shovel. That's what he's saying. You give to me, I will give back to you, and I'll give back to you more than you gave to me. Now, if you wonder how Brother Block or anyone else that tithes, you say, how do you live on 90%? We don't. We live on 100% and probably 110 or 15%, because see, God not only gives us back what we gave him, he gives us more besides. So it's easier for us, those who tithe, it's easier for us to make it than it is for you that don't tithe, because we're not having, you say, well, I can't make it on 100%. We're not either. We're making it on 110%, 115%, 120%, because God blesses us, he gives us back what we gave him, and he gives us more beside. So the truth is, the reason we can make ends meet is because we're tithing. You say, they don't make any sense. No, a lot of the spiritual truths in the Bible do not make earthly sense. He said, if you want to get, what do? You give. You want to become somebody, what do? You become a nobody. I mean, there's a lot of truths in the Bible that are opposite of what you and I think. You say, then how do you know it's true? Because God has proven himself over and over and over and over again. You say, well, how do I know? Well, do what he said. What did he say there? He said, bring your tithes and see. What he says is, test me. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven. So he said, try me out. Check it out. Now, there are a lot of people that make promises that they have no intention of keeping. There are a lot of businesses that make promises that have no intention of keeping. God's not one of those. God keeps every one of his promises. The truth is, if you want to do something that's really a help to you in your Christian life, find some promises of God and hold God to them. He doesn't mind that. Hold God to his promises. in your prayer life, in your spiritual life, hold God to his promises. But he promises financially, you give to me, I'll give back to you. And again, we all like to be blessed financially. So in order to be blessed financially, and again, that's a way that you can be a blessing. There are folks here that are a blessing to other people because they give them money. You say, Brother Block, I don't have any money to give. That's okay, because there's other ways that you can be a blessing. It might be that you can be a blessing to somebody financially. It might be that you help someone by being their friend. Notice Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, a well-known verse. So again, one way that you can be a blessing is you can be a blessing to somebody financially. Now, I'm not talking about you getting a blessing. I'm talking about you being a blessing to somebody else. You might be a blessing to them financially. You might be a blessing to them through friendship. Notice Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Proverbs 18, 24. As soon as I can find where I got lost in my notes. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, what he tells us is, if you want friends, you got to be friendly. Now, when I say friendship, all of us, that doesn't cost, now it might actually cost you something, because sometimes to be someone's friend, to be, truly be their friend, might cost you something. Let me give you an example. Several years ago, I had loaded my bull. My bull weighed about 2,000 pounds. He was a chunk, and he kept getting through the neighbor's fence and tearing up the fence, so we decided to sell him. So we loaded him in the trailer, and again, I knew 2,000 pounds at one, I mean, every time he puts a foot down, he's putting several hundred pounds, and it was an old rotted trailer, older trailer that we had, that Craig has and I shared it, and so we was taking him to the stockyards. I was taking him to Hondo. So I was really worried, because I just had seen him every time he moves, every time he shifted around, I mean, he moved the whole trailer. Now, taking cows or calves, they're not near as heavy, but this is over 2,000 pounds. So I had him in there, and I was worried about the wood, because a couple times when he'd step, I'd see the wood bow a little bit, and I'd brace it up the best I could. I was going down the road, going down between McDonald and Cost, was only going, I mean, probably 35, 40 miles an hour. My truck wasn't running very good, and I was pulling the trailer, and I was worried, and I was watching, and the next thing I know in my rearview mirror, what I see is I see straw falling out behind the trailer. I immediately pull over. The bull had put his foot through the wood. Now, I've got a 2,000-pound bull. He's shifting around. I can't put him, I have to keep him in the trailer. I can't put him in the back of the trailer, because putting that weight at the back of the trailer, I'd be driving like this. I mean, it would have made my truck. So I had to keep him. So what'd you do? It was a Saturday. So I called one of my friends. Now, understand, we got a 2,000-pound bull. In order to take him, finish taking him, we don't have another trailer. So it's not like, and the neighbor's bull came up to the fence. So make matters worse, the neighbor's bull came up and started talking trash to my bull. So my bull and the neighbor's bull are talking, which means, puts them both in a bad mood. Mine's in the trailer. I've got to work with him. Now, normally he's fairly friendly. I mean, you don't play with the bull, but mine was tame enough and calm enough that I could touch his nose and it would eat out of my hand. But we didn't ever take a chance with it because he's 2,000 pounds. And again, he don't have to hit you very hard to hurt you, because now I weigh almost 2,000 pounds, so I was pretty close to him, but not quite. But so I called up someone. I said, "Can you help me?" And I said, "Are you working today?" They was working. Told them what my problem was. They said, "Hang on, let me talk to my boss." They took off work. Went and picked up some wood. Now, I'm stuck out of the road. I can't unhook the trailer, because, I can't get the weight up off there. I can't go somewhere with the truck and leave. I don't want to leave the trailer and the bull there. So, I mean, I'm sitting there. My wife is sick at home. I call a friend, and the friend goes, picks up wood, and comes. And then the friend is crazy enough to help me. We reach in there while the bull's standing there talking trash to the neighbor's bull. We reach in there. We have to get the bull standing right. If bull is Brother Prado, I mean, we're here and we're moving the bull out of the side. We're trying some plywood in so we can try to nail some plywood over the hole so we can finish taking him to market. And we went ahead and took him to market. But see, that was a friend. Took off work and came to help me. I mean, crazy enough to come and help me put a piece of plywood in there. Again, you might not have money to be a blessing to somebody, but you can be a friend to somebody. Years ago, I've told this example before, but it's been a while. Some of you remember, some of you will not. My wife was out of town for some reason. I do not know now why. I can't remember why she was out of town, but I was babysitting the kids. We lived in Heritage Park. It was over here where we used to have the house in Heritage Park. So this was 25, 30 years ago. We lived in Heritage Park. Late at night, one of my children who's supposed to be in bed, Josh was supposed to be in bed. They put him all to bed. Joshua came out and told me that he had swallowed the pokey thing. And I said, he swallowed something, and he was crying. And I said, "What did you do?" He said, I swallowed the pokey thing. Now, I didn't have any idea what the pokey thing was. I mean, with kids, there's all kinds of pokey things in their toys and stuff. So I'm trying to figure out what the pokey thing was. I held up, there was golf tees in there. I held up a golf tee. That wasn't it. And couldn't figure out what the pokey thing was. But he was crying because his throat hurt. So I called Mrs. Bell. It was late at night. The kids were supposed to be in bed 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. Mrs. Bell got up, came over and babysat the rest of the kids, and I took him to the hospital. Now, the hospital thought this was hilarious when they did the x-ray and saw what it was. I wasn't near as entertained as they was. But what happened was I had, some of you wear tie tacks. I had a tie tack, and my youngest son, my little 2-year-old or 3-year-old son, had taken the tie tack. It didn't have the back end of it. It was just the part with the pokey thing. He had put that in his mouth, swallowed it. It went down. They took the x-ray, and they brought me the x-ray. He was laughing. I said, "What are you laughing at?" And it showed the little pin down there that said, "Jesus first." That was what the tie tack said. They said, "Your son decided to put Jesus first." Now, you think that's funny. It wasn't funny for me because they gave me a little tub and a little spoon thing, a little wooden paddle, and they said, every time he goes, you need to leap through it. It should pass without any problem. You need to check it out. So I had to find the pokey thing. You say, "You still got that one?" I don't remember what I did with it, but no, I didn't keep it. But Mrs. Bell was a friend. Now, again, understand, it cost her some time, and I mean, she had to leave the convenience of her house and probably going to bed to come over and babysit my other kids so I could take Knucklehead to the hospital. But understand, sometimes you can be a blessing to someone financially. Sometimes you can be a blessing to someone with friendship. Sometimes it might be emotional. We call it moral support. Notice in your Bibles in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12 says, "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Now listen to me. Sometimes the fact that you're there for somebody, it makes it that the thing that would have broke them, the thing that would have made them, I mean, they would have collapsed or they would have given up. They didn't give up because they had you as moral support. Now, lots of times people use that freely. I'll be there in spirit. I won't be there. Now, listen to me. We really don't want you to send your spirits around. We'd rather you came physically. Like tonight, we don't really want your spirit to come to church. We'd rather your body came to church. But what he's saying is, when there's someone there with you, it makes things, I mean, makes stuff that might have knocked you down, might have hurt you, might have made you quit. You don't quit because you have some help. It might be physical things. It might be clothes. It might be shoes. It might be food. Visit someone this week. And thankfully they came to church this morning. But when I said, "I missed you for the last few weeks, where you been?" And they said, "We've been going through some really tough times." And I said, "Tough, anything I can help with?" And they said, "We didn't have any food. We didn't have anything to eat." Now they have a job here, but they come from a country that's at war, so they were sending a bunch of their money over to help their relatives and friends over where they came from. So they were going without food. I said, "Man, life, we help total strangers sometimes. Call us next time. Let us know." But by the way, sometimes just groceries can be a blessing to somebody. Sometimes the wife or husband is sick and just helping supply a meal. How many of you have ever had a meal supplied for you when someone in your family is really sick, and that was such a blessing? We've had folks, and it's such a blessing. I mean, whether it's after a baby's born, or whether it's when someone's sick, or someone's in the hospital, or someone's out of town. There are times that the wife is out of town. Now, when the husband's out of town, the wife is like, "Whew, thank the Lord." When the wife's out of town, it's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah." I mean, they don't know. But the fact is, sometimes just inviting them over to your house for supper. I mean, giving them a call on the phone. But again, physical things. A way that you can be a blessing to folks, it might be your advice. Notice in your Bibles and Proverbs. Bible says much about advice and the right kind of advice. Notice Proverbs, we'll read several verses in Proverbs, so get there and then stay there. Proverbs 25, notice verse 11. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver." So he said again, the right word at the right time is very, very valuable, very, very important. So it might be that you can give some advice. I mean, drop a word of advice with some help. Notice Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Again, advice. Notice Proverbs 11:14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety." Again, some good advice. Notice Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed." I mean, things fall apart. Things don't turn out the way we wanted them to. We hoped they would. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. They're successful when you get the right kind of counsel. In the multitude, notice chapter 24, verse 6, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety." So again, it might be, and again, as we get older, we might not be physically able to help sometimes, but you know what we can do? We can offer advice. Sometimes we can, I don't know how many times someone's told me an easier way to do something. They saved me hours or they saved me dollars by the fact that they had an answer that I didn't. Now I'm a little bit smarter because, you know, here's the rule I have. You give me advice, I act like that was my advice when I pass it out to other people and be like, "You're so smart." And it's like, "Thank you, brother, with Brother Yala for that advice." I mean, now they think I'm smart. And it was actually Brother Yala that had given it to me a week before. And I'd put it to practice. And now I'm passing it out. And people are thinking I'm so wise. And the reason I'm wise is because I actually got some good counsel. And now I can pass. I mean, it worked for me. So I pass it out to other folks. That's one of the reasons the Bible tells you elderly women, the older women in the church, you know what you're supposed to do? Teach the younger women. There are a lot of things that you can teach them, I mean, that will save them hospital visits, nights walking around wondering what in the world is going on. I mean, all kinds of things. And by the way, Maybe some tips about child rearing. I mean, let them cry, because if you don't let them cry and make them, I mean, if you just you keep letting them be on their own schedule, they're going to control you for the rest of your life. How many of you ever thought you was going to go crazy because the baby was crying? Anyone who's ever had a baby. And you know what all the older folks said? Just put him in there and let him cry. It's like, you don't understand. They cry, and they cry, and they cry. And usually, you have a breaking point. It might have been 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And then, by the way, you go in there. Now, listen to me. All you did was made your life far more complicated. Because next time, if it was only 20 minutes this time, and they won, next time it's going to be 25 or 30 minutes. And then if you break it 25 or 30 minutes this next time, because you just couldn't handle it. They're sounding so much pain. But by the way, they weren't in any pain because you checked them all out and there wasn't any pain. But the fact is, they were just mad. Sometimes, I've known babies that cry until they get hoarse. They lose their voice. And by the way, that is really pitiful to hear them crying to the point that they can't even cry anymore. But the truth is, it might be that some of you older women could keep that young woman from making that mistake. Because she gave in, then she tries hard, then she gave in, then she tries hard, and all she's doing is making her life more complicated. But again, advice. It might be, again, the way that you can be a blessing to somebody is to be a blessing to somebody spiritually. Notice in your Bibles in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Now, I had you a minute ago, I asked you if someone had helped you as far as helping you get saved, and some of you had that. Now, again, I told you my dad was the one that took me to church, but I got saved at church. Someone here a few years ago thanked me for leading them to the Lord at the altar. And I said, I was just doing my job. I didn't really go out. I mean, that's what I'm supposed to do. They came down front. I knelt and showed them how to get saved. And they said, thank you. I mean, I wouldn't have got. And I thought, if I hadn't led you the Lord, Brother Taylor would have, or Brother Milliken would have. I mean, it's not like I did anything special. Now, but when you go out there, you go out into the highways and the hedges, you go out and knock on the door, you go see them in the hospital, you go see them at their house, a little bit different story. Notice in your Bible, Mark chapter 16. And he said unto them, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you and I are supposed to take the gospel out to them. It might be that we can be a blessing to somebody spiritually. There were some of you that stood up and gave testimony. It was Brother Price that did it, or it was Brother Crisp that did it, or it was my husband that did it, or it was someone else that did it. But you was able to give a testimony that someone helped you get saved. Someone made it possible for you to hear the gospel. And maybe even someone invited you to church and you got saved at church, but you wouldn't have came to church if it wasn't for them. So again, you want to be a blessing to somebody? Pass out some tracts. Knock on some doors. And you can be a spiritual blessing to people. Because I can tell you, when they get saved, they'll remember that you're the one that came and got them to church and helped them get saved. They'll remember that, as some of you remembered it tonight. Notice in your Bibles in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 23. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, we not only have a spiritual obligation, we not only have to do it to obey the Lord, but when we do it, then we're going to be blessed because of the fact that we did it. For instance, the one who brought those two young ladies that got saved this morning, the one who knocked on the door and invited them, they were able to be a blessing to those two young ladies. And the truth is, they raised their hands up right away, came down and got saved. Sometimes kids are a little hesitant. They were not. The truth is, we have several young people that have gotten saved. Because someone brought them to church, went out, knocked on the door, got them to come to church. I remember when we had the Sunday school campaign, and during that Sunday school campaign, we had 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 saved on a Sunday morning. That wasn't by accident. That was because somebody went out and knocked on the door. They were a spiritual blessing to somebody. So again, a way that you can be a blessing is financially. You can be a blessing with friendship. You can be a blessing by being there for them emotionally, giving them moral support. You can be a blessing by doing physical stuff for them. You can be a blessing by giving them some godly advice and some wisdom. You can be a blessing by helping them, whether it's to get saved or, by the way, to stay faithful. There are some people right here today that might be struggling in their spiritual life. They got issues going on at home. They got issues going on at work. They got issues with their health. And you know what? You being a spiritual brother or sister in Christ and being there for them, either calling them or sitting by them or talking to them, will make it. Well, they'll make it through this trouble. They'll become a strong Christian and someday help someone else through the trouble. But they would not have ever got to this point. They'd never grown this big if they'd have withered on the vine down here. And it might be your moral support, your help that got them to that point. Number four, how to be a blessing. Now, when I say how to be a blessing, usually it's going to require some action. Usually it's an investment. Sometimes it's a financial investment. Sometimes it's a time investment. Brother Vineyard used to tell us that. Anything you're going to do, it's going to cost you one of two things, and sometimes it'll cost you both. And it was time and money. Now, understand, either one of those things are dear to us. It's dear to all of us. Time and money are dear to us. We only have 24 hours a day. None of us have extra time. And again, we have limited money. But again, how to be a blessing? It requires action. Notice in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, we read this earlier. What did it say? It said that in Acts chapter 10, 38, who went about doing good. Now, it didn't come to him. He didn't do good when it came to him. He went out looking for some good to do. Fact is, he went out into the streets. He didn't just go to church, and as people came to church, he was a blessing to them. Although he did go to the temple some. But the truth is, you know how Zacchaeus got saved? When Jesus was walking down the road. And the guy that they let down through the roof. And the little widow as he was, that touched the hem of his garment as he's going through the crowd. Jesus was out doing stuff. Again, it will take probably some action on our part. I mentioned Proverbs 31. Go there now because we want to look at several verses in reference to this Proverbs 31 lady, because she was a blessing. And again, how to be a blessing? We can follow her example. We can follow Christ's example. We can follow her example. Notice in this young lady's example, we'll start first with verse 28, which is the verse we read earlier, that says this: her children arise up and call her blessed. So she was a blessing to her children. And her husband also, and he praiseth her. She was a blessing to her husband and kids. Now, Brother Nichols has often said this in the past. The woman's first priority, number one priority in the marriage, is to her husband and her children. If she can take care of that priority and do other stuff on the side, more power to you. But anyway, he's always made it very clear. And by the way, it's a Bible principle. It's not just Brother Nichols saying that. The biblical principle is the first priority to every wife is to be a helpmate to her husband, to fulfill and complete him. And then, by the way, then the children. Now, some people, and if you've ever heard Brother Nichols preach it, Brother Nichols says that some women get things out of balance and make the children more important than the husband. And that's not the case. The children are not supposed to be more important than the husband. The husband's supposed to be the most important thing to the wife, and then the children are important to both husband and wife. But in this case, she's got things taken care of with the husband and the kids. They're good. Notice what else she does, though. Notice in verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know what? She was a blessing to her husband, not just now, but all the time. She was not ever an embarrassment. She was not ever a problem. Fact is, he was more important. If you read later, he was actually at the gates of the city. He was a pretty important guy. You know why part of that was? Because of all that she did. Notice in verse 13, she was a willing worker. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly. Now, there are folks that look at their job as a burden. If the job you have is a burden, you're not going to get any joy out of it. Now, there are people that have to work, and that job's not any fun. So, the truth is, you do it because you have to pay the bills, but it's such a blessing to be able to do something that you enjoy to do. In this case, by the way, she did it willingly. My dad used to say, you know what? If you guys put your heart into it, you'll get it done a lot quicker. And that was true, because we had to do the chores every day. We had to feed the pigs and water the pigs and do all the stuff for the pigs, and then we had cows and other stuff as well. But here's the thing. Sometimes we'd say, Dad, can we go fishing or can we go hunting? And he'd say what? As soon as the chores are done. Now listen to me. Normally if my brother wanted me to help him, I got my stuff done, and he wanted me to help him, he'd be like, forget that stuff. I asked you last week and you didn't help me. But since I can't go fishing or hunting till the chores are done, if I got done with mine first, and by the way, I would run to do it. Normally it'd be like, drag the hose around, water the pigs, and be like, stupid pigs. Feed them. Normally it was a burden. But if I was going to get, as soon as I got the chores and I got to go fishing or hunting, then I did it. It was a lot more. It wasn't near as big a burden. Now, I still had to do the same chores, but because I was going to get a reward at the end, it made it where I got through it quicker. I might have did it with a whistle instead of with a grouch. But the fact is, she worked willingly with her hands. No one's making her do this. She's doing this willingly. She's not doing this because she has to. She needs the money. She's doing this because she wants to do it. Notice verse 15. She riseth early. Or she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maids. Now, she not only feeds her family, she feeds the servants. Now, again, think about how many rich people you know that do that. Most rich people have maids that work for them. Some of you, if you're like me, it's like you're waiting for the day you can afford a maid. But and by the way, that day will probably never come for most of us. But the truth is, in this case, she had, whether it's a business or whether it's people that helped her take care of, the kids or whatever, she had some maidens, but she actually took care of them as well. Notice verse 16. Not only was she an early riser, but in verse 16, notice what it says, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planted the vineyard. She was smart. Again, she profited. She put in the labor. Probably she planted the trees by herself and watered them herself. She was a big blessing. Notice then, verse 16 was the verse we just read. That was that she was business-minded. Notice verse 20. In verse 20, she not only, now all that stuff you can say, well, all that stuff she did for her family. And it did benefit her family, but notice verse 20, this was not for her family. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Now what that means is when she saw people that had less than her, and by the way, no matter how little you have or how little I have, guess what? There's probably someone out there that has less than us. There are people that look at you and I and think, wow, you're lucky. Now we look at ourselves and think, lucky? I'm not lucky. I got nothing. But again, if you compare what they have, there are a lot of people out there that we have more than them. I told you before the missionary that came to my dad's ranch from India, and his name was General Ha Jimmy. He was a fellow that had been in the military. He was a 2-star general in the Indian Army. He got saved and became a missionary. And when he came to my dad's ranch, again, we didn't have nothing. My mom and dad used to spend $20 a month. Now back then, $20 by a lot more than it does today. But my mom and dad would spend $20. I mean, I didn't know what it was like to have potato chips in my lunch. I had popcorn. I had the same thing every day. It was either peanut butter and jelly sandwich or fried bologna. I mean, that was the two things we had for lunch. And I hated fried bologna, so it was peanut butter and jelly sandwich for years. I said, Brother Block, you still like peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Haven't eaten one in years because I got so tired of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I mean, I haven't eaten one in a long time because that's what I had every day because I hated the smell of fried bologna. So I had peanut butter and jelly sandwich. 1.5 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, used some popcorn. That was our potato chips. I mean, I didn't even know they made flavored ice cream till I got older in life. I mean, because all we ever had was vanilla if we had any ice cream, maybe chocolate, and then we could put some flavorings on top of the vanilla ice cream. It was a big day in my life when I found out we had orange sherbet. I went to a place one time, they had orange sherbet. Then they had some stuff with walnuts and other nuts, and I thought, wow, this is so good. But the truth is, we were poor. But when Mr. Ha Jimmy came out on our farm, I remember he stood up on a stump, and we'd cut a tree, and he stood up on the stump, and he looked out over my dad's property. And he says, oh, Mr. Block, in America, you must be a very important man. And my dad said, oh, Mr. Ha Jimmy, in America, I am a very poor man. That's what he said. But to him, coming from India, as poor as they are, and back at that time, I mean, India's changed quite a bit in the years. But back then, I mean, they would take dump trucks down the road every morning, and people would take the dead bodies out and put them in the bulldozers, and they'd dump them in the trucks and go out and just bury them in mass graves because they were starving and dying of starvation. To that man, my dad looked rich. We had cows out there on the ground. We had pigs out there. We had chickens. We had a barn. We had a couple vehicles and a house. To him, I mean, we were rich. So by the way, even if you may not have much physically, I guarantee you there's someone who has less than you. And by the way, you could be a blessing to them. Again, in this case, she took care of the poor and the needy. She reached out her hand. She helped them. Now, by the way, the world's philosophy is completely different than that. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. Let me show you what the world thinks about this same group of people. Notice Proverbs chapter 30, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 40, verse 13 says, there is a generation, it's this generation, whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Now, they're not being a help to them. They're being mean to them. They're being hard on them. And so he said that's the generation that is alive today. But again, the Proverbs 31 lady said is an example of how to be a blessing. Her family was well cared for. And then the last thing, and I'll be done, the benefits of being a blessing. Now, the truth is, I told you, I've tithed because of the fact that God told me to tithe, and God's blessed me through the years for tithing. I'd tithe even if God didn't have the blessing because I want to obey Him and please Him. But I can tell you, having Him bless me, I like that. That's good. There are benefits of being a blessing. First off, notice Proverbs 31, verse 28. We already read it earlier, but this is a benefit of being a blessing. It says, her children, what did they do? They called her blessed. And her husband did too. He praised her. One of the benefits of being a blessing is folks will thank you. Folks will appreciate you. You did something for them, and that meant a lot to them. Now, it might not have meant much to you, whether it's the financial, whether it's $5 or $10, or whether it's some kind of physical help. I mean, if you have a pickup truck, I mean, and you help them haul something, I mean, they wouldn't have been able to get otherwise. I mean, it might not have been a big deal to you. It might have been an hour or two of your time. But the fact is, it's a big blessing to them. So the benefits of being a blessing is the response from others. You're going to get a thank you. You're going to get a hug. You're going to see some tears because you're a blessing to them. Second benefit of being a blessing is the blessing that you receive from being a blessing. And when you say, well, that don't make sense. Yeah, you do something for someone else, and then you see the smile on their face or the hug that they give you. That made it worth whatever it cost you, whether it's time or money or whatever it is, it made it well worth it to you because you received a blessing. Here a while back, there was a fellow feeling sorry for himself. And he's got a pretty nice life. He's got a retirement, two retirements, so he's living. He's got a house of his own, got a vehicle. Doing really well. But he's a grumpy, grouchy person, so the truth is, he's always saying, you know what, I wish God would just take me on home. Wish I could just die. And I said, you know what, let me tell you what you can do. You want to change all that? Run down to HEB. Go in there to HEB, pick up about 25 turkeys. Then go out in the HEB parking lot. When you see some family, some mama coming out there with about a dozen kids, walk over to him and say, I want to give you a turkey. Then I said, and watch the smile on the face. Now, first it'll be like, how much is it? I don't have any money. No, I just want to give this to you. They're going to be shocked and surprised. But I said, to see the smiles on their faces and to see how many of you ever did that at Christmas time? You went and did something for someone at Christmas time. You passed out stuff. You talk about a blessing. That is a blessing when you can go. By the way, most of us don't really need anything. Truth is, most of us have more than we need, far more than we need. We have all of our needs and even all of our wants. But at Christmas time, to be Santa Claus. You talk about being a blessing to go out. That's one of the reasons I love the bus kids. I could go and do stuff for my bus kids, and my bus kids appreciate it. It didn't really cost me much, but it's such a blessing to them. I remember one day we got picked up all of our kids early. Brother Milliken was my driver. And I said, Brother Milliken, pull in at the dollar store. Remember that? And I said, all right, everybody can get, I don't remember if it was one thing or two things, but I said, you can all run in now. Huh? Yeah, they could all get a dollar. I think, I'm a poor guy. But to them, it was a big, they all ran. So, the lady at the cash register kind of gave us an odd look when we went in there. Then we parked the bus in the parking lot. We all come in, and they all take off running down the aisles. And, of course, they're getting this and then putting another chair. And I say, all right, guys, we were early. We're not going to be early now if you don't hurry up, make your mind. Everybody grab your one thing and bring it up here. But they was, now listen to me. It cost me a buck. How many times I bought something for my grandkids, and they was all excited, and it cost me a buck? I love the Dollar Tree. Is it the Dollar Tree or Dollar Store? I don't know which one. Whichever one that one is down there. Now there's one over here behind the gas station. So, you can go to that one. But, they have toys for a dollar. Who'd have thought it? Now, some of them don't last very long, but my grandkids lose interest in about 10 seconds anyway. So for the 10 seconds they enjoyed it, then I enjoyed it doing it for them. But again, when you are a blessing, you receive a blessing from being a blessing. The third thing about, again, the benefits of being a blessing is the Lord noticed it. Notice in your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 15. Not only the person that you did it for noticed it, but the Lord noticed it. Notice Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord, where are they? They're every place. They are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, he notices when we do bad, but he also notices it when we do good. So the Lord notices it. By the way, the Lord noticed that you did something for somebody else, and you know what that makes him want to do? Something for you. He knows if it was a sacrifice to you. He's your father. He knows, what you can afford and what you can't afford and all. He knows if it was a sacrifice to you. So guess what? If you've had children, and sometimes you've had your children do something for someone else, you know what you didn't want to do? Something for your kid, because you're so proud of them. They did something for someone else, so then you did something for them. Now, they didn't do it, well, unless your kids are smart. Unless your kids have figured that out. But they usually didn't do it because you was going to reward them. They did it because they want to be nice. And again, when we are a blessing, the Lord will notice it. The next thing, the laws of nature kick in. Now, when I say the laws of nature, go to Galatians chapter 6, and you'll see what I'm talking about. In Galatians chapter 6, when I say the laws of nature kick in, the benefit of being a blessing is ultimately that you will be blessed. Because notice what the laws of nature are. Galatians chapter 6, notice verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, what will happen? Shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Now here's what he said. If you are, one of the benefits of being a blessing is, you ultimately will be blessed. Because it's the law of sowing and reaping. You sow, you reap. I encourage you tonight, even if you are going to get nothing from it, you're not going to get any financial return, you will find that being a blessing to someone else will be a blessing to you. You'll find that being a blessing to someone else will get his attention, and he will be a blessing to you. But again, understand, you have to that song that we sang of make me a blessing, you'd have to pray that and say, God, make me a blessing to somebody today. And when your husband or wife says, where are you going? I'm going to go out and try to do some good today. That would be a great endeavor. There might be things that we do in life, our job, probably isn't, in that same category of doing good, But there are lots of things. Maybe on the way to work we do some good. Or on the way home from work we do some good. Or after work we do some good. But the fact is, there is something that we can do for folks. There are folks out there that, by the way, just spend a few minutes with them will be a blessing to them. Making a phone call to them will be a blessing to them. Mrs. Hayden, I was going to visit her the other day. I called up. Brother Hayden said, can I come over? And he said, no, she's really, really tired. Really, really, I mean, she's had some rough days. And he said, but some of the ladies have already been calling her. And that's been a big blessing to her. Now, it probably wasn't very much of your time, ladies, and whoever it was. And I know a couple of you because I know some of you call Mrs. Hayden from time to time. And I know she calls you from time to time as well. By the way, that thing works. It's one of those things that, you know, be friendly and you get friends. That's how that thing works. But he said that was a big blessing to her, the fact that some of the ladies had called her. Now, listen to me. We do a lot of junk on our phones. A lot of junk. Playing games and looking on the internet and looking up stuff. By the way, just on a side note, does anyone know how long an ant queen can live? If you'd looked it up on the internet, you'd have known. They can live up to 30 years. I thought, stupid ants, she can keep having babies for 30 years. Now, the bees only live 3 to 5 years, so they have a short life, but the ant can live up to 30 years. So how do they know that? Because someone who had more money than sense kept some ant in captivity for 28 3/4 years, and then they found another that lived longer than that. So someone who had nothing better to do than that kept an ant queen for 30 years. But again, understand, a phone call. Get off the internet. Get off your game. I mean, you know, quit whatever it is you're doing that accomplishes nothing, by the way. Make a phone call. I don't do it as often now as I used to, but used to I had several grandmas. And I had them all on my phone as grandma. I had Grandma Garcia, I had grandma, and I had like 5 or 6 grandmas, and I would just call them. They were all single ladies, all widows, and I would call them once a week to see how they were doing. I'd call them up and say, hi, it's Brother Block. You need anything? And usually it wasn't. Every once in a while they would, so I'd go do it for them. But I made that a practice. Now, understand, it takes very little time to make a phone call. And by the way, yesterday I called some folks. I went and visited several people, but some of them that I didn't get to go visit, I called on the phone and talked to try to get them to come back to church because I've been missing them at church. And many times the fact that you just called them, it means, you know what? You care. You missed them. You know what they often said? I didn't think anyone even noticed. I mean, no one said anything. No one's came by. So a phone call, it doesn't take much, but if you will be a blessing, you will get a blessing. So our prayer today ought to be, God, make me a blessing to someone today. And again, every day you ought to make that your prayer. Make me a blessing. And by the way, in you being a blessing, you will be blessed as well. So when someone comes and says, how you doing? I'm blessed. Why are you blessed? Because you've been a blessing to somebody else and you reap what you sow. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize how important it is to follow your example. We do want to win souls and you did that. But you did more than win souls. You cared about people. And people knew you cared. Lord, that was one of the things that they often said. I mean, when they talked about Lazarus, how you knew how much you loved him.